Today's daf is Chulin Daf Kuv Zayin. Today's shir is once again sponsored by David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It's sponsored anonymously with Chusar for Shalema for Baruch Tzvi Ben Rivka Batya, and it's sponsored by Menachem Gelbtach with Zecher Nishmas Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai. We once again thank all the sponsors very, very much, and if anyone would like to sponsor, it's $54, daf sponsor at bknw.org. So thank you again very, very much. So we are holding on the bottom of daf, Kuf Vav Amud Beis, meaning there is no real bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, but a couple of lines on the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, that the Gemara is first going to discuss washing once a day, instead of no matter how many meals you have, the possibility that a person's able to wash once a day. The majority of the daf is, again, going to be about Netilas Yadayim. We're going to have four different statements of Rava about the type of kli that can be used for Netilas Yadayim, and some discussion that ensues from that. The Gemara is going to discuss whether one has to do actual Netilas Yadayim, or can you just be notel b'mapa? Can you take the bread with a cloth instead of actually touching the bread, and maybe in place of Netilas Yadayim? The Gemara is going to talk on Amud Beis whether a person who is being fed, who's not eating on their own, is obligated to do Netilas Yadayim, and whether the person doing the feeding is obligated to do Netilas Yadayim, and we'll try to bring rayas on that issue. If we get to it, the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about having meat and cheese kept in close proximity to each other, whether it be wrapped together in the same bag, in the same cloth, or whether it be on the same table when two different people are eating. If one person's eating meat, one person's eating cheese, and that's going to be the discussion in the Gemara that ensues. What sorts of archakos do you need when one person is eating meat and another person's eating cheese at the same table? So that's going to get us right back into basar b'chalav issues after we conclude Netilas Yadayim. So let's begin. Two lines from the bottom of the page. Amarav, notel adam eshtei yadav shachris, umasna aleim kol yom kulo. A person could wash both of his hands when he wakes up in the morning, and then he makes it tonight that netila should work for the entire day. That whenever he wants to eat bread that day, he doesn't need to do Netilas Yadayim. It could be somich on the netila that he did in the morning, as long as he makes sure that his hands don't get dirty, that his hands don't become tamei, that he's not masiach das from the shmira of his hands. The Rashba raises the question, why do you have to make the tanai mitchila that the netila should work for the achila of the entire day if he was shomer asiyadayim from the time that he washed and he was not masiach das? So even without an explicit tanai, it should be potter from netila siyadayim because his hands are, he knows that his hands are tahora. So he says, you see from here that netila siyadayim is only kasher if he has kavana for netila that's machshila achila, that you need to have kavana, that not just that a netilas yadayim has to happen, they have to have kavana that this netila should be machshir la achila. And if he doesn't have that kavana, that this netila is going to be machshir him to eat, then the netila does not work. The Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis disagrees. He holds it, no, there's no din of kavana b'shas netila that it should be dafka for the purpose of achila. No, the reason you need it tonight is because without it tonight, the netila is not going to help. Even if you were shomer esayadayim, is because since there's a significant hafzik zman, he wants this netila to work for the entire day. We're not somich on the shmira. We're afraid that he's going to forget and he's going to be masiach das. And he's not going to remember that he was Masiach Das, and he'll go ahead and think that he wasn't, unless he made it tonight mitchila. I mean, if he went in with a game plan and then he followed through on that game plan, then we assume that could have happened, that it could be that he went the entire day without Masiach Das. But if it didn't start out as the plan, then we're not going to trust that he was not Masiach Das. So the Bach raises a suffix: do you have to have a tanai b'mefurash verbally that your kavana with this netila is for the achila that's going to be all day, or is it just good enough to have it in mind that, yeah, that's your plan? Do you have to? Is this tanai something that one has to say? So he says, lemaisa, if a person doesn't say beferish, we're not somech on the tanai because savik bracha levatala, he's going to have to be notal yad of shenis and not say a bracha though, meaning we're going to have to be choshesh in both directions. If he only had the tanai mentally and not not verbally. So safek, we're going to be machmir to require a netila, even though it's derabanan, but we're going to be machmir to require a netila. But safek bracha levatala, we're not going to let him say a bracha. The Elia Rabba paskins that it's daibim machshava, good enough to just have a machshava. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that you have to have the tanai verbally, otherwise it's not nikr that this is done la'achila. And the Mishavura paskins l'chadchila, it should be verbally done, but p'diavad it works even with just machshava based on that Elia Rabba. So it's so fascinating that we even have this possibility that a person could wash his hands in the morning and eat bread later in the afternoon. You know, there's this major misconception that people have, that people assume that after you wash your hands, but before you said the bracha, people sometimes assume that you're allowed to be mafsik then, you're allowed to talk then. Oh, but once you've said the bracha, then before you have the hamotzi, then you better not talk. Then it's, so you got to be very, very careful. The opposite is true. They would wash their hands in the morning and go the whole day. Now, granted, it's not l'chadchila, we don't do that, and you have to have it tonight. But the issue of hefsik between doing the netila and actually eating the food, that's not nearly as big of an issue as the hefsik between doing the netila and saying the bracha on that netila. That you certainly have to wash again if you're mafsik between washing and saying the bracha on the netila. It's a big kasha why we say the bracha afterwards. Kol brachas kulon v'rachon alein. Kol mitzvos kulon v'rachon alein. Over las yasan. You're supposed to say a bracha really over las yasan. Okay, so Tosfos has some sort of explanation in Maseches Pesachim why it is that we say a bracha afterwards. But really, the pasuk pshat in Shulchan Aruch even is that you're supposed to say the bracha before, because the bracha goes on the mitzvah. But to not only do the bracha afterwards, but be mafsik between the netila and the bracha, that for sure, a person is not allowed to do. That's for sure would create a hefsek. There's even a question in Poskim, what if a person says a bracha with a plan to do a mitzvah and then he decides not to do that mitzvah? So they want to know, can you bring a raya from Netilas Yadayim? In our Gemara it says, person can be Netilas Yadayim Shachris, have kavana to eat with that Netila Kol Yom Kulo. And the Ritva says, Mikan Yesh Lilmod, from here we see that a person who's Netilas Yadayim Shalolidas Achila, he has to wash again for the achila and be mevarich al netilas yadayim. So, because the netila rishona would not be able to be machil him. But, says the Ritva, someone who's notal yadav achila, and he says a bracha al netilas yadayim, and then he changes his mind and he decides not to eat right now, no problem. He doesn't have to eat, says the Ritva, on account of, I'm worried about my bracha being a bracha levatala. Wasn't a bracha levatala. At the time that you washed your hands, you thought you wanted to eat. Your bracha valentilis yadayim was on that washing with the intention to eat. The fact that you didn't eat doesn't turn your netila into a bracha levatala. Again, highlighting this idea, the hefsik after the netila, before the eating, doesn't even have to be an eating. You don't have to eat. If you choose not to eat at that point, you can walk away, and it's not even a bracha levatala. This is quoted by the Chidah in Machzik Bracha, quoted the halacha. So the Tshuvas Amudei Eish, he raises a question, someone who does a mitzvah that you have to say a bracha on, and he says the bracha, can he decide not to do the mitzvah? Or do we say, no, chashash bracha levatala? And he brings a raya that it shouldn't be a problem from this Ritva, that as long as at the time of the bracha your plan is to follow through, if you later choose not to follow through, then it's no problem. However, Rav Nosson Gestetner points out that Tosfos disagrees with the Ritva. Tosfos says the reason a Zava does not say a bracha on Sfira Shiva Nekiyim, the Allah is Midaraisa, the Torah tells us, the Safra La Shivas Yamim, that a Zava Gedola has to count Shiva Nekiyim. So how come she doesn't say a bracha, Asher Kishon Musos Vitzivanu, Al Sfira Shiva Nekiyim, the same way we say a bracha, Al Sfira Sa'omer? So Tos says, because the concern is that she might turn out to bleed on one of the later days of Shiva Nekiyim, and it will be Oker, the Shiva Nekiyim L'mafreya. If she bleeds on day 6, it turns out that the Shiva Nekiyim didn't work. So then it will turn out to be a bracha levatala. And that's why she does not recite a bracha. That's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Ksubos on Daf Ayin Beis. That, according to the Ritva, well, as long as at the time of the Sfira, that's what she was planning on doing, then it shouldn't matter. The bracha should not be be a brach levatala. It's very interesting that what Tosfos is assuming. Tosfos over there in Ksuva seems to be assuming that she actually verbally counts Shiva Nekiyim. Because if there's no Maisa Mitzvah, then of course there's no bracha. So it must be that Sphere of Shiva Nekiyim doesn't just mean keeping Cheshbon of Shiva Nekiyim, which it certainly does mean. If a person is Masiach Das during Shiva Nekiyim, from the Shiva Nekiyim, then that alone could possibly the Shiva Nekiyim. If a woman does a bedika and finds something that she thinks is definitely no good, and she says, okay, that's it, I mean, I guess I'll start again tomorrow with the Shiva Nekiyim, because she's sure it's no good. And then a few hours later, someone looks at it and says, no, this is actually okay. Her Shiva Nekiyim are uprooted anyway, because she had been Masiach Das from the Shiva Nekiyim. She thought it was for sure no good. The attitude one is supposed to have is, maybe no good. We'll see. But once she's Masiach Das, they had that Shaila that Machon Pua sent me last year. They had a Shaila that they sent to a number of Gedolei Yisrael, and they sent me the tshuvas because they thought I'd be interested, that a woman who went into a coma during the Shiva Nekiyim. And I guess she recovered quickly. She woke up and was ready to go to the mikveh when the Shiva Nekiyim were over. So does that count as a Hesach Hadas during the Shiva Nekiyim? For 3 days she was in a coma during the Shiva Nekiyim. Does that count as a Hesach Hadas? Fascinating discussion in Poskim. Some of the Poskim said, yeah, I mean, that's about as big a Hesach Hadas as you could have. Others said, what do you mean? You're allowed to go to sleep during Shiva Nekiyim. So she just slept for a really long time. So, yeah, but you couldn't wake her up. Okay, so that was the back and forth that number of the poskim had. But anyway, so the Rav Nosson Shtetner says that Lechor is a Raya that tells us against the Ritva, whereas others point out, Satmar Rebbe pointed out, that the Ritva also was only talking about Netilas Yadayim. He wasn't talking about other mitzvos. Because again, Netilas Yadayim, the bracha is not on the achila, the bracha's on the netila. You did the netila. So that's it. It's not a bracha levatala as soon as you do the netila. Now, the fact that you choose not to eat, that's a separate issue. But to say by any other mitzvah that I'm going to say a bracha of al achilas matzah with the intention of eating matzah, and then I'm just not going to eat matzah? No, the ritva would never say that. It's dafka, a unique thing when it comes to netilas yadayim. Okay, vaitu nagmar. Amar lahu rabbi avina lebnei pakosa da ravos. Rabbi Avina said to the Bnei Pakasa da Aravos, the people who lived in the Bika in a place called Aravos, where there was not a lot of water available. That's the point. People like you who do not have a tremendous amount of water, this is a halacha for you. You want to wash your hands in the morning and have in mind that for the whole day, whatever you eat, that netila should work for the whole day. Some say, yeah, because they didn't have a lot of water. It was a shas al chak, so that's what they had to rely on, upligad Rav, and that's against Rav, who was matir doing this even shalob shas al chak. V'ikadamri afilu shalob shas al chak nami v'haynu d'Rav. And some say that even shalob shas al chak, they were matirit, and that's exactly what Rav held, that it's even mutter shalob shas al chak. Most Rishonim hold like the first, like the second day, or rather, like Rav, that you're allowed to make this tonight, even shalom b'shas chak, but Shulchan Aruch Paskins and some Kuf Samach Dalet Tzif Aleph, that even though you're allowed to make it tonight, shalom b'shas chak, if there's plenty of water, better to look for water and be no tal yadayim again, but lo yivarech. Don't say a bracha. Meaning, if you had in mind and you made the tanai initially, so still you should wash again if there's plenty of water. It's as simple as turning on a faucet, but then you wouldn't say a bracha the second time. So the Taz and the Bir Agra explain, because it's the chashash v'choshesh, that the second explanation of v'choshesh v'shita satosos, that even the shita that holds that a tanai works, I feel the shalom b'shas chak, that's just that it doesn't have to be a dechak gomor, but it needs to be some sort of dechak. It can't be just like everything is totally fine. So we're choshish for that, and that's why we would require netila again. The Yerabba writes in the name of the Shear Knesset Gadol, the Bezman Hazeh, there's no way that a person was not Masiach Das from his Yadayim. There's no way that his hands were clean, and therefore we don't make this tonight. We totally avoid this entire situation. But Mishavur says, good to have a file away in the back of your mind, b'makom d'chak gadol, to be somech on this tonight, gam b'zman hazeh, that if you're ever in lo aleinu, a person is ever in such a situation where there's mamish no accessibility to water, you're in one of these African countries, and that new Israeli invention that turns air into water hasn't reached there yet, or something. So then, so a person should know this halacha in the back of their minds. Okay, says Gemara further now. Amrav Papa, Hay Arisa D'Dalayim. Now we're going to talk about a number of dinim relating to Matilas Sudayim. So Arisa D'Dalayim, the pipe through which water would go from the river to irrigate the fields, ain't noted mentally a dime. You can't stick your hands in that pipe as the water is flowing through and rely on that for Netilas Dalayim. V'lo'os m'koch gavra, because that's not coming from a koch gavra. Netilas Dalayim has to come from a koach of a person who's pouring the water. Where did we see that? It didn't say that in the Gemara, that it's got to come m'koch gavra. So the Rishonim debate this issue. What's the basis of the idea of koch gavra? The Ravid in Tmim Deim, quoted by the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, writes, the Mikra Din, you don't need koch gavra from Netilas Dalayim, but they were choshesh, since they don't require using more than a revius of water, if it doesn't come mikach gavra, we are choshesh that the water is going to be nispazer, and you're not going to be notal yadayim revius. So when you pour it, when it comes mikach gavra, then you know you're using the entire revius. The ra'ah in Bedek Abaye says that we learn from kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the kiyor in the Beis Hamikdash, that the netilah has to be from the min hakiyor v'lo betocho. That's what the pasuk says, v'rachatu mimenu. So we darshan that it's minakir v'lo betochakir. So b'netilas sudaim also, it's supposed to mimic that netila, and therefore, without a koch gavra, it doesn't help. L'chora, it should have to be mikoch shofich, and not that it just comes on the hands mimela, because if it would come on the hands mimela, the kli doesn't help anything in the netila. It's not considered that the water is coming minakli. From the fact that the Torah is makbit, that the netila should be minakli v'lo betocho, you see that the netila has to be mikoach, the person that's pouring from the kli. Beis Yosef and Archaim Simon Kuflin Tess quotes from Agos Maimonios that we learn from the fact that the pasuk says by Hazas Mechatas Vihiza Hator Alatame, that by Hazas Mechatas you need Koach Gavra. So that's where we learn Koach Gavra from. So there's some model that we learn it from. It's somewhat surprising that the Gemara never discusses it, where we learn Koach Gavra, but the Gemara definitely assumes it, that you do need Koach Gavra. So anyway, so you're not allowed to stick your hand in this pipe that's bringing water to irrigate the fields, because that's not until this time, it's not coming Koach Gavra. The Mikra of the Gabe Davla, if you put your hand right by the opening of the pipe where someone's pouring the water in, then the Kasim Koach Gavra, nothing mentally a dime. That's still consider mikach gavra because someone's pouring the water right in on that spot, then you could be notal yadayim there. V'bizia davla bekonis mashka, and if the kli that they're using to pour the water into that pipe has a hole at the other end, a large enough hole that you could put water into the kli through that hole, which is a larger hole than the size of a hole that water could spill out of a kli from, and so there's water at the simultaneously going in, a stream of water going from this kli into this pipe, and a stream of water going from this kli into the river that the water was coming from, so then it's all considered to be connected from the river to the river. Melef laifi, the water is considered through the stream to be connected to the river. Umatvil bas yadayim, and then you could do tevilas yadayim, just like you could do tevilas yadayim in a river. Now, four statements of Rava with regard to a kli that is used for netilas yadayim. V'amar Rava, kli shenikev b'konis mashka, ain't not the menli yadayim. A kli that has a hole in it that's large enough, not that it has a slight leak, large enough that water could get into the kli through that hole, then you cannot be notal yadayim with that kli. That is considered to be a broken kli. There is a machlokas rishonim, what exactly Rava means by this. The Rush, the Tours say that Rava Rava never said that ain't notal yadayim from a kli that has a nekev that's kones mashka. It's just unless it's at the shulei kli, unless it's on the bottom of the kli. But stud of its mutter, if the hole is on the side of the kli, it's mutter. And the kli is, or if it's on the side but on the very bottom, then it might be problematic. Meaning if it's on the side but toward the bottom where the kli can't hold the revius, then it would be fine. But if it's on the studim lamaila where the kli is able to hold the revius, so even if it has a sheer kodesh mashka, some of the the part of the kli that's min hanekev v'lamata has a shem kli, and therefore you're allowed to be notel yadayim derech hanekev. You could use that hole for the netilas yadayim, but you're not allowed to be notel yadayim derech the peh of the kli, because the kli that's the part of the kli that's above that hole is not considered the kli anymore. So that's how a number of rishonim understand. Now the idea of a broken kli not being usable for Netilas Yadayim is very relevant, not only for Kalim that may be broken, but this was a major part of the discussion when it came to disposable Kalim for Netilas Yadayim, or for Koshal Bracha, or anything like that. That there were those that are very concerned about it, because it's worse than a broken Kli. It's like it's a Kli that would never be used. A Chad Pa'mi, you're only going to use it once, so it's even more flimsy than a broken Kli. Whereas others say, no, this is a plastic cup that's whole, it's a kli, it's doing exactly what it's meant to do. A broken kli is not able to do what it's meant to do. Okay, we don't have time to get into it right now. I have a whole piece in my second sefer on that issue, on chad pa'ami kelim when it comes to Netilas Yadayim. V'yam Rava, second statement of Rava, kli she'en bo revius, ein notim menu liyadayim. A kli that doesn't have a revius halug of water that could fit into it, you can't be, or it doesn't have a revius of water in it, you can't be notim liyadayim from it. Says Mar Eini, v'am Rava kli she'en machzik revius, ein notim menu liyadayim. I thought only a kli that cannot hold, doesn't have a capacity of a revius, you can't wash your hands. Hamachzik avgav lespe. But if the kli has a capacity of a revius, ma'im, even though it happens to not have a revius, that's good enough. You don't need an actual revius, ma'im. You just need, it's a din in the kli. It's not a din in the water. That a kli needs is only called a kli if it could hold a revius. It's only called the kasher kli for the tilas yadayim. But you don't need an actual revius, so lo kasha. Halachad halatrei. It depends how many people are washing their hands. When one person is washing their hands, so then the kli has to be able to hold the revius, and has to have a revius in it as well. When Rava says that a kli machzik revius is good enough, but you don't need an actual revius, that's when two people are coming to wash their hands, and the way Rashi understands is bazeh achar zeh, one right after the other one. So it started with a revius, then the first guy washed. Now there's less than revius in it, the second guy is allowed to wash, even though there's less than revius in it, because not only is this kli machzik revius, not only can this kli hold the revius, it did hold the revius, and we look at what it held before the first guy washed. Ditnan, may revius, the Mishnah says in Maseches Yadayim, water that has revius halug, not only yadayim le'echad, ba'afil l'shnayim. You could use that revius for not only one person, you could use it even for two people to wash their hands together with that revius. Now that is how Rashi understands this. A lot of the Rishonim are very unhappy with that interpretation. What do you mean? Where's the cutoff line? Someone washed out of this kli a week ago, and now I want to wash from it now, and it has less than a revius. You can say, oh, okay, but the kli once held a revius a year ago. Where exactly do we draw the line? What do we call two people coming to wash their hands simultaneously if it's not really simultaneous, if it's zeh achar zeh? So that's why a number of the Rishonim say, no, revius means, I think this is where we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, didn't have a chance to look it up, but revius bebas achas means that the two people stick their hands both under the revius at the same time. So even though by definition they're not both getting a full revius of mayim, that's when we can have each person getting less than a revius of mayim. Someone told me, Shlomi Ettinger told me that when he was in Camp Aguda, they were on some sort of hike with Rav Belsky. Rav Belsky used to take them and look at the stars and look at show them things in the woods, and now that he knew everything, so he just would show a variety of different things. So they said they were on some sort of hike and they had to stop for lunch, and there was they didn't have enough water. He had like five guys line up their hands one on top of the other, took a revius of mayim, and did it until he died. So okay, you have to know these halachas, I guess, when you're in that kind of shas al chak. But that's what we assume, that it's all at the same time. So Amalei Rav Sheshes Amemar Kaptisu Amana. Rav Sheshes said to Amemar, are we makbid on the kli of Netilas Yadayim that it should be shalem, that it shouldn't have any holes in it? Amalei in. He said, yeah, I'm absolutely makbid on that. Achazusa, how about the water? You makbid that the water look like water and it doesn't look like something else? Amalei in. Yeah, I'm absolutely makbid that the water should be clean enough that it should look like water. You can't have nishtana tzurasim. The Ra'a writes and it's quoted by the Beis Yosef is because Netilas Yadayim is supposed to be Doma L'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim Nakiyar. And just like by Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, we learn from the pasuk, it says Mayim twice, but in the pasuk to tell me that it has to be Shalosh Danu, it has to be Mayim that looks like Mayim. So Netilas Yadayim, there are also Mesakin, there has to be Mayim that looks like Mayim. The Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Bias Migdash says May Kiyar are not Nifsal Bishinu Mara unless it's because of May Peros that fell into them. So you have to say according to that the reason they passed Shinu Mara from Netilas Yadayim is not based on May Kiyar, it's based on something else, from May Chatas or something else, all based on what we were talking about before. Where do we get the idea of Koach Gavra from? So wherever you get the source of Koach Gavra, right, whether it's from Mechatas, Mechiyar, so then you're going to have to line up whether this din of Shinei Mara. So Ashiura, he said, are you makbid on the Shir Mayim that everyone gets a revius? Samalei, in, yeah, makbid about that also. Ikadamri hachi amalei. Some say he said to him as follows, that amanavachazusa kaptinan, on the kli and on the look of the water, yes, that we're makbid about. Ashiura lo kaptinan, not so makbid about the Shir revius of water. Ditznan, because the Mishnah tells us, may revius notin liadayim la'echad vafilishnayim, that a revius of water could be used even for two people, so apparently you don't need a revius of mayim. Velohi, that Mishnah is not a raya that you don't need a revius of mayim. Shiny yasim, which is going to cause from Mishiari Tara. Over there it's different because initially the kli did have a revius. So when the second guy washes, he's washing from a kli that initially had a revius, but it has to start out with a revius. And again, the way Rashi understands it, that when the first guy began to wash, it had a revius. Even though when the second guy began to wash, it didn't have a revius, it still connects back to that first revius that the first guy used. So Iskin Rabbi Yaakov bin Arpakod, not Labas Raviasa. Rabbi Yaakov bin Arpakod set aside a certain glass kli that was used as a measuring cup. You want to know how big a revius is? This kli should be used to measure any other cup. See if it's the size of a revius. Yeah, he had that measuring cup. Iskin Ravashi Behutzal Kuza Bas Raviasa. He had a kli cheres that served that same function, so that people can know what's kosher for Netilas Yadayim, what's not. V'yamarava magufas chavis shetikna. If let's say you have a covering of a barrel that you hollow out part of the cover itself so that it becomes like a cup, it's able to hold liquid, notel menel yadayim. You can then use that cover as a kli to be notel yadayim. Tiny namiachi magufas chavis shetikna notel menel yadayim chemas uchfisha. Different types of leather canteens, shetiknan, that you make it that they're able to stand without leaning on anything, not the mem liadayim. You could use that for Netilas Yadayim as well. Sack vikupa, if you have a bag, a sackcloth, something like that, that's not meant to hold liquid at all. Aval pisha makablim, even though you then retrofitted to make it able to hold liquid, you mezafes the inside, you put some sort of sealant on the inside so that it's able to hold water. Ain notam in the yadayim. You cannot use that for Netilas Yadayim. So the Bach writes that there are apparently three madrigos of kelim that are not machzik revius without leaning. There's a kli that's made initially in order to be makabel mashkim in such a way, so that's kosher without doing anything to it. There's a kli whose main tashmish is not for kabbalas mashkin, but it's made also for kabbalas mashkin. Then it's possible unless you're misakin it, but if you are misakin it, it's going to be kosher. And then there's a kli that was not made for this at all, for Kabbalah's Mashkin at all, so then all the tikkun in the world is not going to help. The Chazon Ish just writes that it doesn't have to be that it was made for Kabbalah's Mashkin. It's good enough that it was made to be Mekabel, that it has a base kibble that's made to hold something, and then you could use it to hold water that you can use for Netilas Yadayim as well. Okay, so it says the Gemara, what if you don't touch the bread? You don't touch the food? Do you still need Netilas Yadayim? So Yibayilu, Ma'al lechel b'mapa. Can you eat bread by just wrapping a mapa around your hands and not touching the food? Mi cheshina dilmanaga alo. Are we choshesh that you might come to touch the food? Or are we not choshesh? So Tashma will bring a first raya. Raya from Mishnah Masechah Sukkah. Ukshenosin lal Rabbi Tzadok ochel pachas mikabe. The Mishnah Masechah Sukkah tells us in Ma'aser Rav that when they gave Rabbi Tzadok food that was less than the size of a kibetza, notlo b'mapa, he didn't wash, he would just wrap his hands in a mapa, v'oklo chutz l'sukkah, and he ate the food outside of the sukkah, because it was only an achilas arai, it wasn't achilas keva, does not require a sukkah, v'in mevarech alav, and he did not say birch samazon, because he held that he didn't need a proper shear for birch samazon. My love, isn't the diuk that we're supposed to make from there, ha-kibetza by netilas sedayim, that had it been a kibetza, he would have required netilas yadayim. So you see that when you need netilas yadayim, being notal b'mapa is not good enough, because he Rabbi Tzadok would have been notal yadayim had he had a kibetza. So it says, no, dilma ha-kibetza by sukkah by bracha. No, maybe had it been a kibetza, he would have gone into the sukkah and he would have benched, but that doesn't say anything about netilas yadayim. You don't know which part was on account of it being less than a kibetza, and which of these three things was not on account of being less than a kibetza. You don't know that the netilas yadayim is about the kibetza part. Tosos in Dibur Maslamai asks how the Gemara could think to bring a raya from the fact that the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Tzadik ate paksim kibetza al yidei mapa without netilas yadayim, that if he would have eaten a kibetza, then he would have had to wash his hands. Rabbi Tzadik was a kohen and he ate chulin al taras truma. For ochle truma, you're allowed to eat by krichas mapa. The Gemara is going to say later on that ochle truma, we have an extra level of trust in them because they're used to being eating things betara, so they know to be very careful about that. So even if he was eating a kibetza, he would not have had to do netilas yadayim. So what's the havamina that it's all about the kibetza? No, he was ochle truma betara, so he was ochle chulin betara. So it also suggests that the Gemara could have been docha the raya with vilit ulutaymeich, but the Gemara had a different tachia, that the whole diuk wasn't a good diuk to begin with, so the Gemara went with that tachia. But in a chinami, this whole raya was doomed for failure one way or the other. So says Gemara, okay, that's why we need another raya. Tashema, let's bring another raya to be poshet this suffix. What if you wrap your hands up in a cloth and therefore do not touch the food? So the Shmuel Ashkei LeRav the Kachel B'Mapa. Shmuel saw Rav eating with his hands wrapped in a mapa, and Shmuel understood that he was doing that so that he wouldn't have to do Netilas Sidayim. So Amalei, Shmuel said to Rav, Avdin Kedain, is it mutter to do what you're doing, not doing Netilas Sidayim, Bikarech B'Mapa? Amalei, Daiti Ktsara, like Rav says, you're misinterpreting what I'm doing. I'm an Istinis. I can't touch food. When I touch the food, it grosses me out. But of course I washed. So you see from here that even that it's a raya the opposite way, that even though he was not going to touch the food and he wouldn't touch food, he still washed. So Kisalik Rabbi Zera Ashkechinil Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi. When Rabbi Zera went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he saw Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi Dekachli Bevloi Chamasos that were wrapping their hands in worn out cloth or worn out leather, and they weren't touching the food. And when they were eating the bread, Vamar Trey Gavi Rabbi Kavseichu Litu B'Drav Shmuel. Two great men like you made a mistake in understanding the whole Maisa with Rav and Shmuel. How could you make this mistake? Then you must have thought that Rav held that you don't have to do Netilas Yadayim when you wrap your hands, because I see that's what you're doing. But Daito Ketzara Kamar. Don't you know Rav explained that the only reason he did that was because he was Daito Ketzara, he was an Istinus. But of course he washed his hands, so you too have to wash your hands. What are you doing? So Ishtamite Hada Amar of Tachlifa Bar Avimi Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Zera, in that criticism, forgot what Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi said in the name of Shmuel, that itiru mapa lochli truma, what we just referred to before from Tosfos, that kohanim who eat truma are allowed to be korech mapa on their hands, because they're used to taking care of things b'tahara, and we're not choshesh that they're going to come to touch the food and be metame the food. But velo itiru mapa lochli taros, people who eat chulin b'tahara, we're not matir b'mapa, because they're not used to being so nizar like kohanim who eat truma. And therefore, we're choshish that they might come to touch the food and be metameit, and they're not allowed to eat unless they do netilas yadayim, even if they're korech b'mapa. So Rabbi Zera should not have criticized Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi for eating without netilas yadayim, because Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, kohanim havu, they were kohanim, so they're trusted to eat without netilas yadayim as long as they are korech b'mapa. Ibailu, ochal machmas ma'achil, tzarek netilas yadayim alav. A person who eats by someone else feeding him, does the person who's being fed require netilas yadayim? He's not touching the food, someone's feeding him. So says Mar Tashema, we'll bring a raya. The Rav Huna bar Sechora, Havakai Kamei de Rav Hamnuna, Rav Huna bar Sechora was standing in front of Rav Hamnuna, Balam le umtsa, and Rav Huna cut a piece of meat with the bread, and he put it into Rav Hamnuna's mouth. So Rav Huna was feeding Rav Hamnuna. Va'achil, Rav Hamnuna ate it. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to Rav Huna Bar Schora, said to Rav Hamnuna, he loved Rav Hamnuna at, if not that you were who you are, that you're such a Talmud Chacham, lo safina lach, I never would have fed you. My time, what was the great Chachman's Rizus of Rav Hamnuna that Rav Huna was relying on? Lav mishum desar v'lo naga. Isn't it that he was going to be careful not to touch the food? And you see from here that a person who's going to be careful not to touch the food is allowed to eat without netilas yadayim. That if someone else is feeding them and they're going to be careful not to touch the food, that they don't need netilas yadayim. So no, that's not what it was about. Lo, the zar is kadem mashiyad meikara. What Rav Huna was saying when he fed him is, I know that you must have washed before because you never would have taken the food into your mouth had you not washed before. But of course you have to wash even if you're not going to touch the food. Tashmas says, "We are bring another raya." Dam Rabbi Zeir Amrav lo yite nadam prus l'toch piv. That if you have a waiter serving you at the meal, you cannot put food in his mouth unless you know that he washed in advance. Once we're talking about the shamish, we'll mention as well that if you give a cup of wine to the shamish and he says a bar priya gafin, and then you give him another cup of wine to drink, he has to say another bar priya gafin, and the first bracha doesn't cover it because you assume that there's a hasach hadas. He has no idea that you're still going to feed him another kos. Prusa. But the shamish does not have to say a bracha on each morsel of bread that you feed to him, because he knows that more is going to be coming. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevarich Al Kol Prusa Prusa. Rabbi Yochanan says he even has to say a bracha on each prusa. Now this is totally beside the point. We're just talking about some halachas of a shamish. The point was that first halacha that you're not allowed to give him to eat unless he was notal yadayin. But once we mention this idea that there's some sort of machlokas about whether he has to say a bracha on each prusa, the Gemara explains the machlokas. Amar Papa Bishlam at the Rav of Rabbi Yochanan. Lo kasha, hadi ika adam chashuv, hadi leka adam chashuv. It's actually not a machlokes whether the shamish needs to say a new bracha on each prusa. It depends whether there's an adam chashuv or not. Rav, who says that he does not say a bracha, is talking about where there is an adam chashuv at the seuda. So the shamish is not masiach das because he knows that adam chashuv is going to take care. What defines an adam chashuv? Someone knows that he has responsibility for other people. He knows he's going to take care of that. The shamish knows the adam chashuv is going to take care of him because he knows he takes responsibility, and therefore he's going to continue to feed him. But when there's no Adam Chashuv, so there's no one that's taking care of anybody else, everyone's just worried about filling their own stomachs, so the Shamish cannot rely on the idea that he's going to get more food from anybody, and then he's going to have to say a bracha on each prusa. But that was all beside the point. The point for our purposes was that you're not allowed to feed the Shamish unless you know he did Netilas Yadayim, even though he's not touching the food. You're feeding him. Says Mar Shiny Shamish Detarid. A Shamish is very busy feeding the Mesubim and taking care of the meal, so you have to be Choshish that he'll forget. That he did not wash his hands and he'll touch the food that's in his mouth. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, normally you could feed a person without a person doing the tilsi diet, but a shamish may be so busy that he'll touch the food that you have placed in his mouth when he didn't do the tilsi diet, and that's why dafka for a shamish is a problem. So Tan Rabbanan lo yitin adam prusa l'shamish, a person who's a guest at someone else's home should not give a portion of food to the shamish. Bein shakos biyado shal balabais. Whether the shamish is holding the kos or whether the balabais is holding the kos, shemi yera dvar kalkala besuuda, because we're afraid by giving that prusa to the shamish, something bad is going to happen. The shamish is going to spill the kos, or the balabais is going to spill the kos. And the reason we're concerned about this is when the balabais is holding the kos, we're afraid the balabais can get angry on the fact that you're giving the shamish without his rishus, and because of that cast, the wine is going to choke him. The wine that he's drinking is going to choke on the wine. Or even if he doesn't get angry, since he's choshesh that maybe he's, because you're feeding the shamish, he's not going to have enough food for all the guests. He's going to be looking very carefully at exactly what you're giving the shamish, cheshbening out if he has enough for the meal, and that will cause the kos to be spilled. And even if the shamish is holding the kos, you're not allowed to give him the prusa, because we're afraid, because of the kas of the balabais, the shamish is going to be worried about what the balabais is thinking, and he's going to spill the kos. Shamish who didn't wash cannot put a prusa in his mouth. What if you're the one feeding the other person? So Tashma, the Tani Debe Menashe, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Isha Medichas Yada Achas Mayim Nasen Es Pasul B'na Katan. A woman could rinse one hand in water in order that she should be able to touch food to feed her child on Yom Kippur. Amru Alav Al Shammai Azakin Shlaratz Alachl B'yada Achas. Shammai Azakin didn't want to do this on Yom Kippur. V'gazru Alav Shiachl B'shtei Yadav. And they made a gezeira on him that he has to wash both of his hands, even though normally you're not allowed to wash in Yom Kippur, in order to feed the child. So don't you see that when you're feeding someone else, you do need to wash your hands? Amar Bai Hasam Mishum Shifta. Now that's different. That was until this time Shachris, to get rid of the Ruach Ra, that there's going to be Ruach Ra in the food if you don't if you feed a child without that. So Tashma Davud Shmuel Ashkei Shmuel the Kabachi. Davud Shmuel saw Shmuel crying. Amalei Amai Kabachis. Why are you crying? The Machin Rabbi says because my Rebbe hit me. Amai, why did your Rebbe hit you? Damali Kasafis Lavrai Vilo Mashes Yadech. That because he said that he fed his son bread and he didn't wash his hands before feeding. Why didn't you wash your hands? Amalei Shmuel said, "Hu achel v'namashina." He was eating and I should wash my hands? That doesn't make any sense. Why do I have to wash my hands? He was the one eating. Amalei lo mistayed de lo gamir mimchanami machi. Unbelievable. Not enough that your Rebbe is ignorant, but that he hits you for his own ignorance. Vilchsa ochel machmas machil. The halach is the person who's eating, even if he's being fed, does require netilas yadayim, but the person who is doing the feeding does not require netilas yadayim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.